started singing tonight, and we'll be dismissed at this time. Oh, yes, Brother Chris.
I just want to ask the church to continue to pray for Ellie.
Yes. So she had RSV, right? All right, so Ellie, she's at home right now?
Okay.
Yeah, anybody else got any prayer requests before we break out? Yes, Ms. Deborah. Amen. Yes. Yes, Cora broke her leg, right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that's a rough, yeah. And then Miss Doris's granddaughter broke her leg, too. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Molly? Okay. Okay. All right, so remember Molly's neighbors are traveling. And yes, ma'am? Miss Carrie, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Our daughter, Lori Phipps, she has COVID, and it hit her pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How long has she had it now? Okay. It seems like you guys just had somebody that had. But you've got so many kids.
Yeah.
It's like she's had somebody in her family with COVID every week. I mean, yeah. Okay. So Lori's has it now. Okay. Amen. All right. All right, we're going to open up our Bibles tonight to the book of Corinthians, and going to look at 2 Corinthians, and going to kind of just further develop this thought. We looked at just a thought Sunday night on getting victory over depression, and just looked at some. Okay, we found our iPad. All right. I don't know who's looking for it, but it's right here. We looked at some thoughts, just of Paul, things Apostle Paul was going through when he went to Corinth, and he told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2 that I was in weakness and fear and much trembling when I came to you all. And we're going to look at a little later on in his missionary journeys. And we're going to look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to kind of see with the Apostle Paul. This was really kind of a recurrent thing. And I think we can all relate. We can all agree that's kind of a recurrent thing in our life. If not depression, definitely discouragement. Sometimes some people are more susceptible to depression. But all of us are definitely susceptible to discouragement. And we all deal with that. But I want to look at just biblical help for times of depression and what did Paul do in this passage right here. And there's some great truths in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you look in the first seven chapters, it really talks about distilling about endurance through difficulties. And you go with endurance. And then in 8 and 9, it talks about giving in difficulties. And then 10 through 12 really is just it talks about glorifying God in a difficult time, and you'll have that. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so, as we look in chapter 2, we're going to read verses 12 through 17, and we're going to look specifically tonight at how to endure through times of discouragement. When you're dealing with a topic of depression, honestly, with this one, there's just not a quick fix, okay? I'd like to tell you that there's just this quick fix But sometimes there's help, and it is better, but sometimes it's not a quick fix. But rather, there is hope, okay? And when we learn to endure with the hope that this will pass, that will get us through a difficult time, okay? And that's where things get really rough, is when you're down and you don't see any hope, all right? And that's what I'm going to just reiterate, encourage everyone tonight. There is hope. There is hope. And that's what we want to look to in the Bible tonight and see the hope. And that will help us endure, and it will help us to get through the difficult times. So let's look here in verses number 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says, Paul's talking, he says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas, I preached Christ's gospel, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia, causing us to, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifestation the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto life, and to the other we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." So, Paul's talking about here how he went to Troas, he preached Christ, and a door opened, and good things happened. Yet, in verse 13, he said, "I had no rest in my spirit, because I could not find Titus, my brother. I had not Titus, my brother." And we'll kind of unpack that, what that means, but he was down. He was down, and he went through difficult times. There's studies out there that show that one out of every four pastors are have depression. You go through that as a pastor, and you'll see in this passage, I think, very clearly the heart of a pastor and why that is. There's some difficult things that you go through, and you love people, and sometimes it's just, you know, it's not, maybe that's not received as well, or things happen. But 12% of men and 26% of women will experience depression in their lifetime. Over 14 million Americans suffer from a major depressive disorder this year. That's over 6% of our population every year. So I want you to see the magnificence of this, and a lot of this is underreported. None of us are immune to this. There's great Bible characters all throughout the Bible, and they were not immune. Great men of God. God used these people, okay? And these are exemplary people in the Bible, but they, David, he suffered from this. If we read back in Psalm, read this Psalm the other night, in Psalm 69, he said, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, and my throat dried, mine eyes fell while I wait for my God." And so he went through some difficult times of depression. Jeremiah, he said, "Woe is me, the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I find no rest." That's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Elijah, Job, Paul, Jonah. Elijah, he got to the point where he said, "It is enough, Lord, take away my life. Am I not better than my fathers?" And so he was at a point of, he was feeling suicidal. He was down. Spurgeon, he went through this, and a great, great preacher. But he made this statement when he was younger and he went through some difficult things. He said, "My spirit were sunk so low that I could weep by the hour like a child, yet know not why I wept." There's many biographies. We'll look at another, a missionary. Biographies of great missionaries that went through times of depression. We'll look at one here tonight in a little while. But if we look here in verses 12 through 13, we're going to see he's talking about coming to Troas. And if you find the parallel of this one in the story of Acts and the chronology of Acts, this would probably be around Acts chapter 20, around there. He just left Ephesus, and now he's stopping through Troas. And there's some great things that happened in the ministry. God was doing some wonderful things. But he says in verse 13, he said, I had no rest in my spirit. I had no rest in my spirit. If you look over in just things that Paul went through, he writes on in the letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6, he says, when we were coming to Macedonia, and that's at this time, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were tears. Nevertheless, God that comforted us, those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And then we look down here. there's other mentions of things that he went. If you go on down chapter 11, there's a list of other things that he went through. And so, as we look in our text this evening. We're going to look at several things, but we're going to see Paul's discouragement in the first part in verses 12 and 13. He says, "I had no rest in my spirit." And then, if you look on down to verses number 14 to 17, you'll see the encouragement. How Paul got encouragement, and he says this. He says, "Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph." And so, in our state of, if you find yourself in a state of depression, or if you know someone who is in a state of depression, just pay attention to this text. There's some real gems here tonight, I think, that we want to look. Just starting out, we want to look at three things. The first thing we want to look at is why. Why was Paul discouraged? And again, you can see this in verses 12 and 13. Then you're going to look and see how did Paul react to this discouragement, this depression. And then you want to see where did Paul get help. And that's going to be in verses 14 through 17. So why? 2 Corinthians is really reads like an autobiography of Paul. He's just very transparent about things that he goes through in 2 Corinthians. There's a close parallel to his just transparency of his life and what he goes through. I mean, Romans 6 and 7, man, Paul really opens up and he just levels with you. He says, "Hey, look, man, this is what I'm dealing with." And it's, you know, it's good. It's good just to level. It's good to take off our mask and just say, "Hey," and just be real. You know, people really respect that. You connect with them, and Paul's being real with you. And he writes about these in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. He writes about he goes through afflictions. He goes through he had necessities. He had stripes. He had imprisonments. He had tumults. He had watchings. He had labors, fastings. In chapter 11, he talks about how he was imprisoned, how he was whipped, and how he was beaten. And he went through a lot of these things are physical afflictions. And again, we talked about that on Sunday night. When are we prone to this? When you have, you know, Paul said, "I come to you in weakness." He had a physical ailment. When we're sick. We're definitely at risk for discouragement and depression, especially with chronic illness. And a lot of people suffer with that, and it wears you down. I mean, it really does. It's just it'll wear you down. And then when we're exhausted, and you know, Paul talked about he labored night and day in the ministry, and in the ministry it can be very exhausting. It's very good that you know Pastor Tyler is taking time away and get away with his family. Needs that time. Need to unplug. Need to you know, just to refresh and just get some time away with your family and relax a little bit. Because I tell you, it's never ending. When you, it's just night and day. There's always something. And so you look at all these things, and I can remember back when you know, we just need to be aware of that. I know when I was younger, I was in studying to be a PA, and I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the training. I loved every part of it. And we got to we have a first year as a didactic year, and the second year you do clinical rotations. And, you know, I never bought into some of the philosophies in psychology. And some of them are not biblical, some of the you know, philosophers, and if you study psychology. And so there's that. But then there is the issue of mental health. And but when I got into doing my clinicals, I remember I loved it. I loved every part of it, whatever I could do. Let me pediatrics, whatever, internal medicine, ER, surgery, just let me go. But then when it came to, we had a required rotation in psychiatry. And I really wasn't excited about that, Jason. I told my director, I said, hey, can I skip out of that one, maybe, you know, do an elective in cardiology or something? He's like, no, this is required for the program. And so I reluctantly went to that, and it was in Nashville. Now that I did that, I'm so glad I did, because there's things I remember from that rotation that they stick out in my mind probably more as much as any of them. And then when I got into coming to Mountain City and just doing primary care, and really, you know, you're geared up to take care of acute illness and blood pressure and diabetes and stuff. I couldn't believe the amount of, it was a lot of what you see is, you know, just, and people having problems with depression, anxiety, I can't sleep. There's different things that you deal with people. And then, you meet that in the ministry a lot. So this is a very, very common thing. And sometimes, medicines can be a little bit helpful. Medicines are, you know, they're not the sometimes they don't fix everything, you know. But we want to look here at some biblical truth. We know that God will help us, and this is things that you do go through, but God will give help. And but Paul says here, I had no rest. Now, why did he have no rest? Well, he said, I had not Titus, my brother. Now, where was Titus? Now, if you study in the book of Acts and what's going through, he sent Titus away. He was with Titus, and then he sent him away, and he sent Titus back to check on the church at Corinth. Now, he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, his second letter. Really, there was more than two letters. One of them was not even really considered in the canon, but he sent Titus away to check on the church at Corinth, and Paul helped start the church at Corinth. He spent a lot of time. He invested 18 months of his life there. He saw people saved. You remember Corinth was a difficult place, a very immoral city. It was a very carnal church. But he loved the people at Corinth. And he had already wrote one letter to them in 1 Corinthians. He wrote one letter, and it was a very difficult letter. All right. He had to confront some things at the church. He had to speak to the church and say, hey, look, I hear there's some divisions among you. Some of you are following after Peter. Some of you are following after Paul. Some of you are following after Apollos. You know, don't do that. Christ is all. Follow after Christ is the one. And then he's saying, hey, some of you are quarreling with each other. Some of you are taking each other to court. A Christian brother ought to take another Christian brother to court. And then he's writing about there's problems with immorality in the church. And Paul had to address that. And those are very hard things when that comes into a church, and you gotta speak about that. And then nobody wants to do that. Apostle Paul, I don't think he wanted to do that, but he had to address it. And it was vast in the church at Corinth. There was even not only immorality, but there was even a case of incest in the church, and Paul had to call that out. And you remember that Corinth as a society was extremely immoral. The whole society had the culture was. All the temples and the priestesses that worship the goddess Diana, those temples were nothing but brothels. I mean, that was a society. And so if you study the Roman Empire and the culture and how immoral and just how pagan it was, and they were just given to the lust of their flesh. And that's how the writings of Paul talking about marriage and the family and purity, that was so counterculture, just like it is today. But it was right, and he's addressing these things, and there was a problem of drunkenness. So he sends this, and he wants to know. He said, "How did the people respond? How did they respond? I had to tell them these things. I didn't want to tell them, but I had to tell them. How did they respond to it? And he doesn't know, because Titus is not back yet. He does not know how the people responded, and it's a very difficult situation." And the Apostle Paul says, I have no rest in my spirit. Now, there's a pastor's heart right there. And his heart's for his people. I have no rest in my spirit right now. I need to know, how are they? How are the people in Corinth doing? How's the church? And that's where his heart is. And so prior to this, Paul had ministered in Ephesus, and people up there got so upset with him. And, you know, they incited a riot. And he left Ephesus and goes to Troas. And he took with him, if you study in Acts 19 and 20, he had seven friends that went with him. And so, you know, There's other reasons why you could be depressed because of loneliness, but in this time he had people with him, some fellow Christians that went with him to Troas. So why? I think there's lots of things that can put us prone for depression, but I think in this one, he's facing rejection from people that he loved. And he saw those that he loved going in an unwise direction. That put him where he had no rest in his spirit. And if you ever have to deal with that, where you face rejection from people you love or somebody you love, you see him going in a direction that's not wise, it will just kill you. Anybody have problems with their children? You know, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to watch. And you know, it just tears you up, or, you know, relationship problems or different things. And so these are just some, in this particular passage, that's what Paul is really dealing with. And again, so there are, he saw great possibilities for the people at Corinth. And they didn't really, the people at Corinth were even questioning Paul's apostleship. Some of them were even questioning his character. A lot of times when you confront people with truth, you might get attacked like that. I mean, people just will not accept that. So he has to address difficult things. And in chapter 11, I think it really illustrates this well. He talks about all these things that he's going through. If you look in verse 24, he says, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness." You know, he talks about all these things. but then in verse 28, listen to this. "Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." So Paul had that on it, okay? And again, that's where it gets to, like, from a ministry standpoint, the care of all of them. For me, that's where, man, that was kind of my breaking point. When I had to, you know, when I had to deliver something and that wasn't very received very well. And that just killed me. It really does. And you can relate that to people that you love, and you have to maybe deal with things where things aren't going well. But he talks about the care of the church, and so that's weighing on him. But there's many reasons you can go through discouragement, illness, trials, burdens. But he admits to the church here. He's writing to him. He says, "Hey, when I was in Troas, you know, we were having a great time in ministry, but I was having a hard time. I was having a difficult time." And so there's many reasons we can go through discouragement, sometimes even go through depression. We all have different levels of what we can handle, and we all have different breaking points. Everybody's a little different on that, okay? For Job, you know, it took the loss of his family, the loss of his health, and it was his breaking point. And Elijah had this great victory on Mount Carmel. And then he had a threat put on his life, and that's when he fled to the wilderness and said, "Hey, take my life." There are different breaking points. I don't know what that is for you, and you don't know what that is for me, but we are all vulnerable to this, okay? And so we need to be sensitive to that, and again, bear ye one another's burden. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, you know, you got to help aid the weak, aid the feeble. So you study about Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson was known as the first missionary to be sent out of America, and he left the port of America, and he took his wife, and he went with another missionary family, the Rices, and they were initially wanting to go to India, and they got to India, and the British colonialists would not let them in. They weren't able to go to India, so he's ventured on to somewhere else in the Far East. At that point, the Rices basically said, "You know, we're done. We're going home." So they went by themselves, and they ventured off for many more months on a boat, and they finally made it to Burma. Burma's wide open, so they went to Burma, And when they went to Burma, there was another person there that they could work with. It was actually William Carey's son. But as soon as they got to Burma, William Carey's son told him, he said, I got to go. I got a ministry that's taking me elsewhere. So he left, and he's there with his wife by himself in Burma. And it's a very difficult place to minister. They had many years with nobody getting saved, basically nobody responding to any of their ministry. And they had been there for a couple years, and his wife gave birth to a baby boy. And that was their delight, their pride and joy. That's your kids. You know how your special your kids are. And imagine if you're in a faraway place and that's all you got, just your family, you know, and that's it. And at the age of three, their baby boy died, and he passed away. And you can imagine the heartache that they underwent. They kept on faithful in ministry, and it took 7 years before they had their first convert in Burma. There was a civil war that broke out after they'd been about 12 years. And one of the sides thought that Adonai or Justin was part of the other side, and they arrested him, and they put him in prison. And he was wrongfully put in prison, and it was kind of like it was a very rough prison, like a concentration camp. They said they would hang him up by his feet at night and by chains and let his head and shoulders just rest on the ground in all the filth of the prison. And that's how he spent 18 months, and his wife had to come every day and bring him food. And while he was in prison, his wife gave birth to their daughter. And so after 18 months, he finally got out of prison, and he got to meet his daughter or be with his daughter. And then a year after he was released from prison, Adonai Justin, his wife, passes away. About another year after that, his daughter passes away. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean... Oh, man. And they said that he went to the place where he buried his wife, and he dug a hole. He dug a hole next to that, and he dug a hole a little bit bigger than his body, and he sat there, and he cried out to God. He says, God, will you let me die? Will you let me die? You know, the point, you know, I want you to see, Adonai Justin, he had an unreal tolerance to hardship, and he could keep on going to the ministry, but even he had a breaking point, okay? All of us do. We all got a point. And so the question, the second thing, you know, is we see why Paul was down, but then how did he react? The question is when you reach that breaking point, or when somebody you know reaches that breaking point, how do you react to that? How do we respond? And you know, a lot of times we kind of can get this mentality, just, hey, you know, just pull yourself together, you know, come on, man, just suck it up, you know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and tough it out, you know. And but chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians, Paul is, I think, just very clear about how we should do this. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, he talks about the God of all comfort in verse 3, and he says in verse 4, he says, who comforted us in our tribulation. He said, hey, when you're going through a difficult time, God comforted you. And he said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so that's our job, is to utilize the truths in the God's word and the God of all comfort, to comfort people wherewith the comfort we ourselves are comforted. And so let's look at that comfort here tonight. And so chapter 1, it talks about, you know, in verse 12, a door was open, and God was blessing. And Paul, he always looked for and prayed for open doors. But in verse number 13, we'll see here, he says, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Notice that. He left. He left the place of ministry at the time. He left Troas. And there was an open door there, and he left it. He was there with seven people, and if you study in the text of Acts, there was people getting saved. There was a person, I believe, a person raised from the dead. There's just the wonderful things going on there. But he had no rest in his spirit, and he said, "I got to go. I got to find Titus. I got to find out what's going on at Corinth. I got to know what is happening to the people there. I just got to know." And he walks away. And he said, I can't stay at Troas. He was down. He stepped away. There's no record here of Paul praying about this. There's no record, really, that he got counsel to do this. There's no record in the text that he was led by the Spirit of this. He left. Okay, and sometimes that'll happen. People will walk away and they'll leave. Elijah left. He left. Peter left. What did Peter say? Peter said, "I'm done. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to fishing." And Jesus, he tenderly went and reconciled Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" And he got Peter back on. And God will do that. He'll come after you. But sometimes people will. They'll kind of walk away for a little bit. And you got to be cognizant of that. And we need each other. But the next verse, and Paul says, I left. But then right in the next verse, Paul, he expounds on how he got help, okay? And this is where the key is this evening. So where did Paul get help? And he finds a remedy. Right after he says, I went from thence to Macedonia, he says, but, now, thanks be to God. He's saying, hey, I was down. I had to leave. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to our God, which always has caused us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, look at that. In Paul's time of discouragement, he reminds himself of this. And the important word in this verse is the word triumph. Now, that word triumph is a very unique word. It's only found a couple times in all the New Testament. This refers to a Roman victory. It's a victory parade that happened in the Roman Empire. This was an unparalleled event that happened in this culture. It might only happen once in a lifetime, but there was certain criteria that must happen for this triumph to occur, this Roman victory parade. That's what he's talking about here. Things that give us, God gives us the triumph. He gives us this victory parade. And so for that to happen, there was things that must happen when an army went out to an area that wasn't conquered. They must conquer that area and usher in a time of peace. They call it the Pax Romana in that era. And they had to have land must be added to the Roman Empire. That was one criteria. The second thing was troops and the men had to make it home safely. That was another criteria. The other third criteria for this triumph, for this victory parade to occur in the Roman culture was that 5,000 enemy lives had to be taken. And they would march these enemies back into the Roman Empire, back towards Rome or wherever they were going. And the military commanders would march home with the troops and the captured enemy. And when all the criteria would met, then this pageantry and the parade would occur. And this was a rare thing, but it was a magnificent thing in the Roman Empire. Much premium was put on honor. And this was something that if you did this, you were part of a triumph, man, you had honor. That was a premium. And so how this would happen was they would have the parade would start, and they would have the Senate, the Roman senator, and the dignitaries would come in first, and then they would have the trumpeters, and then they would have wagons with a bunch of spoiled goods that they took from wherever they came from, maybe gold and stuff like that. Then they had a white bull, which they would offer to the god of Jupiter, and then they'd have the captives, the captive soldiers would be en route to either prison or slavery or death sometimes. And then there was these priests, and these priests would have these wands, and they had censers, and they were spreading this aroma and this sense, and it would fumigate the neighborhood, and it was a big thing, and there was a smell and aroma that went with this. And then the military commanders and the soldiers, and this was, everyone would yell triumph, triumph, and this was a big thing. And so Paul says, I had no rest, but thanks be to God. So Paul's going to give us four things here that helped him through a time of depression. It helped him endure through a time of depression. The first thing we're going to see here, number one, we're going to see he remembered the truth that God is in control. I want you to look here in verse number 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now, key there is that he causeth us to triumph in Christ. I want you to think about that. In Paul's time of difficulty, and he'd been through all these things in the ministry, he understood the sovereignty of God. He understood that everything that happened to him, God allowed that to happen. For whatever reason, the hardships and the things that he went through, God allowed it to happen, and God was in complete control of his life. Now, if you can rest in that and remember that, even though you hurt, even though it is difficult, Psalm 135:6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleaseth, that he did in heaven and in earth. Proverbs 69 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I need to remember that hey, God, this is what God chose for me, for whatever reason. But God's in complete control of my life. I'm in good hands with the Lord. He's got a purpose and a plan, that even though I can't see the end of this. He knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. And understand that God is in control. When you remember that in a very difficult time, you understand, hey, this is God's in control of this, and he allowed this. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is he remembered the certainty of victory. He says, thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. He's thinking about ahead of that triumphal entry. You know, when the story ends, we know Jesus wins, okay? And we know that. We are winners. We're on the winning side because of Christ. We are going to win. And I don't care how bad it gets, we are going to win. And we are a part of on the victory side. And remember the certain victory, and that will give you a hope to keep on going. Paul said, you know, this is really rough right now, but I know this is a part. I'm a part of something. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a preacher in Nazi Germany. You ever get to read a book called Radical Integrity? It's awesome. Awesome read. I like to read after Bonhoeffer, but I don't agree with all of his theology. But he said this. He was brought back into his captors, and they were going to put him to death in Nazi Germany, and they just wanted him to recant his faith. And you know what, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he looked in the faces of Nazi captors, and he said, I would rather die for something that is bound to succeed than to live for something that is bound to fail. And he understood that. He remembered the certainty of victory. And remember the certainty of victory. And Paul pictures this grand parade. And I like that song we sing sometimes in the choir, I shall go in, you know, I shall go in. And we'll go in one day in the pomp and circumstance. And when we go in, it's not because of anything that we did, because of what Christ did. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thanks be to God who gives us the triumph, the Christ's triumph that's coming. So maybe think about the certainty of the victory. And then the third thing he talks about in verses 14 and 15, he says, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So what, think about that. God's knowledge of you in every place is a savor. It's a savor. Verse 15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other we are a savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? Now what God is saying, your apostle Paul is saying, God looks at your life, and it's a savor to him. It's a savor. All right, he remembered the impact of his testimony. Your life makes a difference. People are watching you. It makes an impact, all right? The Christian life is the light of the world. The Christian testimony, the life of a Christian, it is the salt of the earth. And God looks at it. It makes an impact everywhere it goes. Keep on going because of your testimony. The Apostle Paul, he said, you know, in the text that we ended up in last Sunday night, the last verse after he got with Claudius and or he got with Priscilla and Aquila and got back with Titus and or Silas and he said that last thing he said he kept on going. He said, for I have much people in that city. I love that. I love that verse. He said, I have much people in that city, and you think about that.
Yeah, God has many people in this city. God has many people in this world. And God could do anything, but he chose you. He chose you to reach those people. Your life makes a difference. If not you, then who? We need you. We need you to be a part. You must keep going because your life is a savor. It's a savor to God. And we got to remember the impact of our testimony. And that will help us to endure the difficulty and the hardship. And then the last thing here, we'll see that he remembers the sufficiency. He recognizes the sufficiency of the Spirit. In verse number 16, he asks the question. He said, and who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? None of us are. We have no sufficiency in of ourselves. We're not able. We are not able to do these things. But he says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. It's not about us, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. That's how we can do it. That's how we get through, is by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that Spirit will give us the strength. Christ in us. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In this life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I must keep that perspective, that truth in the right perspective, that I don't have it. I'm not able. I can't. But when I look at the reality of it, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And that power of God is enough to overcome whatever difficult discouragement, depression that I will go through. And so that will get me through it. So we'll go ahead and close out with that tonight. When Paul went through this difficult time in his life, he remembered that God's in control. He allowed these things. He remembered the truth that, hey, we have a certain victory coming. He envisioned that triumph one day. He remembered the importance and the impact of his testimony. And then he also remembered that sufficiency only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that that'll be a help to you here tonight. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray that we just thank you for your word. And thank you again for the transparency of many of your exemplary men in the Bible that go through these things just like we do, and how they got help. And Lord, I thank you for giving us a remedy and giving us hope. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to focus on truth and see truth when the enemy is bombarding us with lies, and help us to see truth and see it clearly. And pray that we'll be encouraged by that. And all these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I think it's time, brother, if you want to ring that bell.